England. I have missed my house. I actually miss the cold weather, believe it or not. Honestly. We got off the plane and stepped out and would go and get the coach, and it was like, it's so cold. I'm not sweating. And it's just been, you know, it's lovely out there. I think Christmas at 37 degrees was a bit weird. Eating turkey and sprouts, and you expect to have the heating on, whereas they've got the aircon going all day. And so for me and for both of us, it was a first time experience really having Christmas in the heat. Would I do it again? Yes. I would. Christmas dinner and a sun lounger. Yeah, sounds good to me.
Where'd you get the turkey from?
Oh, I had to hunt for a turkey. Yeah, we got it at Dan's Meats. Whatever Dan's Meats is. But it was a great time, you know. Because they've been missionaries out there now for 9.5 years, you know, the eldest child is 8. So our ability to have face time and cuddle time and touch time has been really limited. So even in the midst of a battle, it was such a blessing. And God keeps really challenging me over the last weeks to look for the blessings in the battles. That the battles aren't just teach us something, but actually the battles are for blessing also. And that we need to learn to look for the blessing in the battle. So I've been thanking him for the blessings of being able to be with family, especially at Christmas. It's the first time they've had any family around them at Christmas time in 9 years. So that was a blessing for all of us. So thank you again for all your prayers. Thank you for those that have sown into our account already. Thank you. It has overwhelmed us, actually, just the love that we felt from people. So thank you so much from everybody. So I want to speak to you this morning, 5 truths for the new year. 5 truths to hear, and then 5 promises to take home with you. I've got them all packed up here for you, for the busy day. So 5 truths to the new year. So first of all, I'd like you to stand. Let's just welcome, you know, I can't get enough of the Spirit of the Lord, so sorry. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you to increase among us this morning. We thank you that we can just come and be in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that there is a song in our heart, Lord, and it's an eternal song of thanksgiving and worship and praise. Thank you, Lord, that you're the King of our heart, that it's well with our soul, no matter what the circumstances are, that it's well with our soul. Thank you, Lord, that in every battle that you bring blessing, in every battle we become more like Jesus. In every battle we ascend the hill of the Lord that little bit more. So we just thank you this morning, Spirit of God, that you lead us into battle and you bring us through victoriously. We thank you for the blessings in there. We thank you for everything that we learn. We thank you, Lord, that you helped us to put it into practice and that it grows the fruit of the Spirit within us. So Lord, let your word go forth with power this morning. Let it penetrate our hearts and our minds, that transforms us to be more like you, that we can be atmosphere shifters and influencers, that people would see the face of Jesus when we smile at them. In Jesus' name, amen. So the other thing, I just want you to take a moment and just meditate on 2018. Just for a moment, just meditate on 2018. You may sit down. That's how I felt about 2018. I found it to be a frustrating year, a challenging year, one of the toughest years that we've walked through as a church, as a family. it's been a hard year. So like people go, let's just meditate on it. And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad it's over. And I really thank God for the calendar year. Whether you celebrate the Jewish New Year or the whatever one we do. I thank God for that because it's always a new beginning, isn't it? It's a time to close the doors on what has been. To learn from it, but close the door on it. Because the Bible said, let us press forward. Let us press ahead. Let us strain toward the goal. He doesn't go straight toward the goal looking, He tells us to press forward, to push forward, to set our eyes on the things above, to set our eyes on Jesus, to set our eyes on the victory, to set our eyes on the prize. You know, so many times that we look at things and we deal with them on a natural level, but actually, we're spiritual people first. The spirit world was here before our natural world. We are spiritual beings. And so our year ahead, for me, I want to look at it from us being a spiritual person so that I can influence the natural around me. Yeah? So I can call in the things that God is showing me into the natural realm. I've left myself force now. Good morning. So I'm excited about 2019. I really feel it's going to be a year of harvest in many ways. I believe it's going to be a year of fruitfulness. And my passion is to see the lost saved this year. I want to see people come to Christ. I want to see salvation flowing like a river. I want us to have an issue discipling people. Yeah, I want it to be a problem. How do you disciple all these people? That's my heart, really. So what's your passion for 2019? So, truth number one. Believe God's specific promises just for you. Believe God's specific promises just for you. I know that all of you have promises that the Lord has spoken to you, either directly or through other people. All of you have little promises written down somewhere from Scripture that God has spoken concerning your own life, the lives of your family, the lives of those that you hold dear, and also your future promises that God has put in your way, in your path, that have moved your heart. So my first truth is believe God's specific promises for you. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when God makes a promise, his word is living and active. Yeah? Which means that it's engaging all the time. It's the prophetic word of God that calls the unseen into the seen realm. So every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is living. We shall not live by bread, but we shall live by the word of God, the spoken word of God, the written word of God. So all the promises are true for you and for me. But the Holy Spirit will breathe prophetic life on those we are to fight with for a season or even with our whole lives. Who has seen some of the promises of God fulfilled in their life? Who is yet to see some of the promises fulfilled? So there are promises that will come just because God's yes and amen are upon them, because they're written, because they're spoken. There are other words that you know and I know that you have to battle for and you have to wage war for. One of them for us is the salvation of our son and his fiance and their family. That's been an ongoing battle for us for the last 20 years. He's now 19 years, he's now 33. And I'm like, Lord, you know, I want to see this promise fulfilled. I want to see the battle for his heart won. I want it to be a now thing. I want the time to be now. I want this to be the season. So there are promises that we have received. There are promises that we have to wrestle with and we have to declare truth over. You know, the Lord has spoken over his life. So when I talk to the Lord about him, I will declare back to him, you said that you have a hook in his jaw, that you will land this fish. You said that you're going to harden him. You said that he's going to be a voice. You said that he's a prophetic, sort of prophetic insight into the things of this realm. This is what you said, Lord. You saved him from death. You raised him from death. And calling salvation to be his portion. So I just declare the truth of the Lord over his life every day. So in this season, it's sometimes good for us to take account of the promises that God has spoken that are yet unfulfilled, so that we can begin to remind God of those promises and remind ourselves of those promises and begin to declare their fulfillment in this season. Ephesians 6:17 says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we all have the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the word of God. So the word of God, again, is a weapon that gives us breakthrough. When we know the word of God, I really believe in memorizing scripture. I really do. Every time Jesus overcame the enemy, he overcame him with the word of God. With the word that had been spoken, the word that had been written, the enemy was overcome by the spoken word. So for us, I'm like, I want to learn as much scripture as I can learn, so that when I stand in the face of a battle I don't understand, I can declare the promises of God right in that place from scripture. So no matter what I see, we stand on the truth of the word of the Lord. Timothy 1:18 says, actually gives us good insight into this, and it says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. So all the battles that Timothy was going through, he was watching his spiritual dad be put in prison, being taken out of the show. He was watching his spiritual father being flogged and beaten. Timothy couldn't even go near him or he would be arrested as well. So he was watching this man that had given him instruction right from he was young, had spoken destiny over him, an identity over him, had prophesied his ministry over him. He was watching him die slowly day by day. And yet, Paul still charged him, I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage good warfare. In other words, no matter what you see with your eyes that's happening around you right now, son, take the truth of the word that has been spoken over your life and do not allow the enemy to steal it away, but stand on it, and declare, take out that sword of the Spirit and declare the truth of God over those things. No matter what you see with your eyes, remember you're first a spiritual being, and it's the spiritual world that influences the natural, not the natural, the spirit. So Timothy's our example to truly believe prophecies spoken over us and actually to take them aggressively and say, no, Lord, where I'm walking right now is not what you have spoken. And I'm calling in those things. I'm calling in those things that you have prophesied and spoken over me. Those things that you've read in the Word. I read in the Word that I'm going to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. I'm struggling with that right now. I have a grandson that's been praying for a hole in my heart. He has been healed supernaturally. I'm watching my son-in-law, you know, a car, you know, the top of him just driving off, not even stopping. And I'm watching his struggles, I'm watching my family, and I'm thinking, I'm praying for people and I'm not seeing what you said. I'm not seeing the truth of the word. I'm not seeing, like, everybody healed. We see some. One lady in Cambodia, in Islam, she came, 40 of the moms and dads gave their lives to Christ. How amazing is that? I've been working with the kids for 5 years, and this year, the parents came to Jesus. Come on! Oh my gosh, guys, come on! They had over 150 people give their lives to Christ in the last 4 weeks. That's harvest. This is hard ground. This is all like rescue kids and provinces for the really poor people baptizing them. We were cutting off their little bands, throwing them and stamping them in the mud.
Amen.
And raising up the name of Jesus. And one lady, the Lord said, go pray for her. And went over and she couldn't straighten her leg. If that, there was something that happened between her knee and her hip. So we sat her down and we did the leg thing and her leg shook and grew and we were like, yes, yes. And she went, no pain, no pain. She had chronic pain. Oh, no pain, ma'am. Like, yes, get up, have a walk, try out your leg. You know, and there she was. And I'm like, doesn't it straighten? She's like, no, no, ma'am, not straightening. I'm like, dang it. Sit down again. He's like, let's pray again. I'm like, let's pray again. If God's moved the pain, then he's drawn the leg, he's going to fix it, yeah? So, she sat down. I took her foot and her leg like this, and I'm like, in the name of Jesus, listen. In the name of Jesus, be loose. Be loose. And then all of a sudden, it went like that. I was like, ooh. And she went, oh. I'm like, get up, try it out. She went up, she was like, kicking her leg, kicking people, like literally jumping around. The joy, and she was so ecstatic. I'm like, this is New Testament, where people were smiling and joy, and were hugging each other, and were celebrating. Because these people live in the railway slum. They live in shacks. They have no toilet, no sanitation. They're beautiful people. Beautiful people. Survivors. And they look after each other. You do drug them. Cannabis plants growing up the side of your table. The kids into the, into the kids club, you know, there's these little trees everywhere. You walk in like, oh yeah. And she got healed that day. And gave her life to Christ. Met Jesus that day. And I'm celebrating that. And I'm like, Lord, let it be the beginning of a river. Let it just not be a one-off. Let it be the beginning of a river. Like, we used to see people healed all the time, like regularly. And we're doing this season, hasn't there? This season where, like, we've had to press in and plow through, and for whatever reason, it's like the Prince of Persia stands against us. I want to see the devil, it's you.
Amen, yeah.
I want to see people healed. I want to see Laurie set free. I want to see Archie healed from her diabetes. And what I mean, I'm like, that's who we are as people. We are first spiritual, supernatural, born of the Spirit of God people. But we drift back into this old flesh thing. And we get disillusioned. And we listen to the news. And we fill our minds with all the negative stuff. Instead of focusing on the truth of the promise. Two. Believe God's overall promises to you. So the first one is believe his specifics. You all have specific promises that God has made. And then you have the overall promises that God has made. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Has anybody wavered in the last year? Waver. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. He who has promised is faithful. We may not always be faithful, but he who has promised is faithful. You know, Abram, when Abram was setting out, God said to him, I'm going to make you the father of nations. And he came down into Egypt. He said, Bethel, that's not the main one. Into Egypt. And Sarah was really beautiful. She was one of the most beautiful women. And Abram knew that if the Egyptians saw her, they would want to take her because of her beauty. And they would kill him. So they'd get rid of him so they could have her. So he said to Sarah, this great man of God, I'm going to make you the father of nations. So he said, hey girl, don't tell them you're my wife. Just pretend you're my sister. Because then they'll not kill me. Right? What a selfish person he was. I sit there and go, I never saw this bit before. It's like, the way you read it and you know it, but you don't actually have a revelation of it. I'm like, if Andy and I went to a foreign country, and he turned around and said, just tell me your wife, just pretend you're my sister, because the king's going to take you and marry you. The king of Egypt. Egypt. So the king got Sarah and married her, and obviously lay with her, and then found out that Abraham was her husband. So while Sarah was the king's wife, he blessed Abraham with flocks and herds and money, houses and land and wealth. And then all of a sudden he's like, is this your wife? Why did you tell me she was your sister? And yet God's hand was upon him, because he should have been put to death. And the king of Egypt just said, you know what, take your wife, take all that you've got and leave. Go. And I look at it and I'm like, wow, Abraham prostituted his wife out to a king. Actually let him marry her and sleep with her and do all that stuff. If I had been God, would I still have wanted him to be the father of the nations? I don't think so. Yet, what was it about Abraham that God fulfilled that promise through? It was because Abraham kept his eye on what? On the promise. On the promise. Not on what was going on around him. Even in all his failing, even in all his mess up, he knew that God had spoken. And he knew the mercy of God was upon him. And God took him right back to that place where he had made that promise to him. And reminded him again. He said, look at the stars. And then he said, when people try to count the dust of the earth, that's how many offspring you're going to have. That's the dust of the earth. So for me, it gave me real hope. Because I thought, wow, if Abraham could do that and find God's mercy and be the father of nations, and we have Jesus, how much more grace and how much more hope do we have in the promises that God's going to fulfill in our lives? Yeah? No one saw their wife off yet, have they? Yeah. Angie's not here today, right now. Of course you do. We never know. So, 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes and amen, to the glory of God through us. 2 Peter 1:4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. So the promises of God aren't just for our here and now, they're actually in order that we can partake of the nature of God. The promises over us help us to be partakers in the very nature of God. So the things that he's working into your life, the things that he has spoken over your life, are actually transforming you day by day. As you walk in them and fight for them, that you are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. So something powerful, I believe, happens as we meditate on the prophetic promises over our lives and the promises from Scripture that God has given to us. It reminds us of who we are. It calls us back into that battlefield to go forward, press again for another year. So if you've got prophetic words and promises, get them out, read them through, and remind yourself of who God says you are. Remind yourself of where he says you're going and what he has called you to do. Number 3, I've spoken a bit on this already. Believe that the spirit realm is more real than the physical realm. What was here first? The spiritual realm. So nothing in our realm happens without it first happening in the spiritual realm. So our realm was created from the spiritual realm. So our natural realm, the realm that we see, was brought forth through the creative word of God. Yeah? So by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So he put a frame to them so that we could look at them and see them and have a form that we would recognize. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the things that are seen were not made of the things which are visible. That's Hebrews 11:3. So logic tells us that if something exists now, then something has always existed to bring that which is now existing into existence. I had to write it down. So I'm sitting going,
oh, that's good.
So logic tells us, even just our common logic, will tell us that if something exists now, then something has always existed in order to bring that which is now existing into existence. Yeah? Unless you believe in the Big Bang Theory, there has to have been something that existed prior to what is now existing in order for it to exist. Something had to create. Something had to exist to create what we have today. Yeah? And we know that that something is a someone. So the spirit realm is in existence prior to our natural realm. Our lives are modeled on that which is in the spirit, on that which has already existed. And that's why in Jesus, you know, when the garden was created and man was created, as was man and woman together, when they were created in the image of the Father. They were created in the image of the Godhead. They were created as spiritual beings. So the spirit realm is in existence prior to our natural realm. Whenever Jesus came, he actually gave us the ability again to be connected to that realm. So when the fall happened, we lost connection with the encounter, the personal encounter of being a spiritual being, spirit to spirit. And it's only through Jesus that we then become filled with the Holy Spirit again, and we are encountering and reconnected with the spiritual realm. And that means you guys, not just me. That means that you guys are spiritual beings. That means that you guys have gifts and callings and ministry. That's why you guys on a Sunday should be bringing the word of the Lord. That's why you guys on a Sunday should be, in the time that you have in the week, be listening to the Lord and have a prophetic word of God to bring. Because we all hear the voice of God. If we don't hear it audibly, we hear it through the word. We hear it through our senses. This isn't about, you guys will come to, like Francis Chan said, you guys will come to watch my gifting every week. This is about your gifting being brought together so that we can grow together. So I want to invite you this week to listen to the Lord, and that the Lord would speak to you, that you would have something to bring next week and something to share with the body, even if it's only two words. But I would love it to be, you know, it says in the word that brought psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, the teachings and the prophecy. So when something happens in our natural realm, it was something that was first deposited in the spiritual realm so that it could be created in the natural realms. Number four, believe that you are significant with unique giftings and assignments. So we, Romans 12, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We are members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. So some people here will be very prophetic and will find it very easy to flow in the prophetic. Some of you will be administrators and will love doing like organizational stuff and paper stuff and just flowing that with such ease. There'll be others that will be like for hospitality, welcoming people and just making people feel loved. All the gifts, if you look through all the gifts, you're in there. You maybe have one, you maybe have 10. But I just want to challenge you this morning, what are you doing with those gifts? What do you do with them outside of the church? What do you do on Sunday? What do we bring? What do we bring so that we can grow together? Because I really believe if just one person or two people bring it all, we don't grow together. Because we have hands and feet, we have eyes and ears, and we're all different parts of the same body. We all have something to contribute to one another. Yeah?
Yeah.
There's nobody like you. There's nobody that can say it like you. So this isn't about my gifting, it's about your gifting. What is it the Lord has gifted you with? And how does he want you to use that gift this year in 2019 for the growth of this body and for the extension of his kingdom outside of this body? Number five, believe this year is the year of breakthrough for long-standing issues. So Mark 9:21 says, so Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has this been happening to him? How long has this been happening? And he said, from childhood. So Jesus healed this boy after years of no breakthrough. So this child had been sick for years of no breakthrough. Do you remember the guy at the pool that had been there for 25 years? And 30 years. And the angel came and stirred the water. But all those years, he didn't have his breakthrough. So Jesus healed this boy after years of no breakthrough. And the Bible frequently mentions the length of time of an illness or a problem that has existed to build faith in us for long-standing issues. I really believe that you know, when the Lord speaks, especially in the stories that in parables, that when people have been ill for a long time, it teaches us, it gives us permission to persevere for breakthrough, for people not to give up. Not to give up. And sometimes I know that people have been so disheartened when they say, well, why should I believe in breakthrough? I've been believing for so many years. And I'm like, let's press forward. Let's press forward to go for the high calling of God this year and see what the Lord has for us this year. I want to see breakthrough. I want to see breakthrough for my family. I want to see breakthrough for your family. You know, I want us to hold each other up in prayer. That's what the little father's house app is for, the furnace house. Put your prayer requests on there. Let's pray for each other, not just on a Tuesday. But let's hold each other up. You know, Emma moving house again. Little Lindsay, all in Lindsay. You know, taking on a big task. And so I feel excited about this year, that the things that we have long pressed for, well, what if it happens this year? If we don't press in, we'll not see. We press in for those things, for our families and for our church, and believe the promises of the Lord. So, the five truths for this year. Believe God's specific promises for you. Believe his overall promises for you. Believe that the spirit realm is more real than the physical realm. Don't get caught into what's happening in the physical. Always go back to the Lord, go back into that realm of the spirit and see what he says about things and then move on with it. Number four, believe that you are significant with unique giftings and callings and assignments. There are assignments that only you can do. If I assign a task to someone, I expect them to do that job. I don't expect them to say, well, I'm busy, somebody else can do it. Yeah? So what assignment has the Lord given you for this year? Take time and ask him and see what he would have for you this year. If you don't know what your gifting is, search it out. Have a go. Start praying for people for healing. Somebody dies, so pray for them. If you want to try hospitality, try that. Administration, I've got lots that you could do. Try it out. Try out different things. We never know what we can do until we try. We never know what our giftings are unless we push forward. So these things are a great place to start, but they are just a starter. And I've got some, when my legs are here, some promises for you to take home and just contemplate on in the week. And maybe out of these promises, actually, the Lord will speak to you and you can come and share a bit of a testimony next week. That would be really nice, isn't it? So the five promises are a promise of supernatural ability, the promise of supernatural completion, the promise of supernatural restoration, the promise of supernatural provision, and the promise of supernatural solutions. So do you want to make this out for me? See, it's a sign of the past. There we go. Does anybody have any questions? Well, a tuk-tuk. Oh, a tuk-tuk is like a little motorbike with a carriage on the back.
Right.
So the carriage is on two wheels.
Right,
you've got the motorbike and then this little covered carriage.
A little taxi.
And they drive along. So. So, Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your promises for us are always yes and amen. I thank you, Lord, that what you have spoken, you will fulfill, because you are faithful to the end. I thank you that you will work your ways so that the promises spoken over us will get fulfilled. And thank you, Lord, that you're excited about this year, because you already know what lies ahead. So I ask in this week that is coming up, Father, that you, God, will excite the hearts of each one here. Lord, that you will fill them with an expectancy and an excitement for this year, this coming season, and what you're about to do, personally and corporately. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're real, that you love us, that you're in us and you're around us. And we bless you for your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we're going to pray for Sharon and Abby now. So if you want to gather around, if anyone wants to come to the front, and we'll gather around and pray for them.
Thank you.
Don't be frightened. Sharon doesn't bite as hard.
Do you know, I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to be away for another 3 weeks, I think. Hopefully no longer.
Four.
So you need to buck in, love each other. I think I'll be glad to have a week of worship, talk to Andy, otherwise you'll have to wait till I get home. But I will miss you terribly.
She'll have strength to get there and to know your will when she gets there. Lord, I pray that this time will be a great time of fulfillment of your promises, that you may see the full healing of Samuel, and we see the whole healing of the whole family. Lord, we pray that you would step into that situation. This time will be a time of joy, as well as a time of trial and battle. Lord, that you step in, that we see the fulfillment of all your promises. Amen.
Just kind of felt the Lord gave me a vision. I saw you because some of the difficulty when you're abroad and that is, you know, is that you're apart, basically. That's a real tear of the soul. I know there are other challenges as well. I had a vision of you sitting on a multicolored horse, and you were just riding through. It's like across the airways. You talked about the spirit realm today. The spirit realm has no time, it has no space. And I believe in this season the Lord's going to give you transportations. And this horse, in the Book of Revelation, there were different coloured horses that had different assignments on them. And I sensed that this particular horse that the Lord has assigned to you has many different assignments. And some of its provision, some of its just connection, some of it is battle. It's geared for war, but it's also geared for peace as well. It's geared for intimacy, it's geared up for provision, it's geared up for spiritual treasure that the Lord has for you. And I just sense that even though you're apart, that there's going to be like a real connection between you, both of you. That it'll be just like you're there. There'll be moments, not all the time, but there'll be moments when the Lord will just take you there. And He's going to teach you in this next season a new level of connection in the Spirit. You know, we have a connection in the Spirit in our marriages when we're together, but there's a deeper connection that we can have in the Spirit that where we don't actually need to be together. And you can sense things for each other about stuff that's going on, and I believe God's going to give you just senses for each other and a prayer strategy to pray for one another. It'll be like you're together, and it's going to be really actually an exciting journey for you, even amidst all the difficulty and pain. And actually, there's a new level of prophetic on you, a new level of connection in the Spirit, transportation coming, and it's actually going to result. And God's going to say, "This is the normal. This isn't just special for this season. This is actually going to be the way it's going to be for the rest of your lives." So, Father, we thank you for this, for both Andy and Sharon, Lord. We thank you for this season, even though it's a tough season. Lord, we thank you that that you have the victory and that you have things for them in this season that they could never learn in any other season. And so we call forth, Lord, that everything you have for this season, Lord, we call it into being. We cry out for it, Lord, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to fall upon them. Lord, that they would have encounters in the heavenly realms that they've never had before. And Lord, we do pray for your provision, Lord. We call it in, we decree it, we declare it. We call in a healing for baby Samuel and for Jason. We call it in. We call in strength, Lord, for energy, Lord, physical energy and emotional energy as well. Lord, the ability to really connect, Lord, emotionally and physically, Lord, even through sleepless nights, that you will actually bring supernatural strength and energy to them. Lord, and that we just bless Andy, Lord, as he stays here, Lord, you'll endure him with a special anointing, Lord, for this time, Lord, to lead the church and to do everything that you've assigned him and called him to do at this time, Father. And we pray for the whole family, Lord, and the mum in Ireland, Lord, and Luke and all the others, Grace as well as Kelly, Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray for a special time, Lord, of encounter with you for them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Sharon. You have a vision of an old phrase. One of those that the old steam train type brand, and these days the old steam train, I don't know, I'm starting to talk. but you're standing in this train station, and this, the old steam train is coming, and you're about to kind of get on it to go on a journey, but it just seems somehow odd that in these sort of modern day and everything else, that the steam train is actually still running and is going to the destination, and you're actually embarking on it to actually do your journey. And the steam train is running on old tracks, not on modern tracks. So it's all of that. And I just keep hearing resurrecting the old tracks. I'm resurrecting the old promises that I have given you. It may seem odd that those promises that somehow may have been forgotten over you two, but they're still there, and you're going to embark on those promises that I will bring forth tonight, that you may even have forgotten all along, you know. And the Lord is almost saying, be aware that I am actually taking you through those, I will be taking you through those promises even now, that I have spoken to you many years ago, days gone, and you think it's a new day and everything else, and they still exist. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for all your promises, for all your blessings upon Andy and Sharon. Thank you, Father God, that you're a God who never forgets. You're a God who fulfills his promises. And we just want to commit them both to you today and ask you that you will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, have your hand of blessings upon them, Lord. Now and in the future, Lord, whatever the circumstances that you bring forth, we know that they are in your hands. We acknowledge that before you today, and we declare your power, your glory, your blessings upon their lives, upon their families, Lord. And this new episode of today, that Sharon is embarking to go back to Cambodia to look after the children and so on, we pray that you will, even in this time, that you will bless her with peace, and you will just keep close to her, Lord, and put your angels in charge of her throughout the journey and stay, and provide all the means that she needs and the family needs, Father God. I pray that through this it will bring joy and peace in all of the circumstances, and being close to them at all times. In Jesus' name we pray.
Psalm 42 for you. As the deer pants for streams of water. Is this because it's been recorded? Do I need it?
Yeah.
Do I need it?
Yeah.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Just read little bits from Psalm 42. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And this psalm is a real heart cry to the Lord. And I saw these deer just lapping the water. And the riverbed looked dry, but like there was so little water left. And I saw as the deer were lapping, the water was coming up from underground, but they had to lap first. They had to actually go to the river and lap the water before it sprung up. And that's how I saw you guys, like thirsty chasing after God, and it's such a paradox that you know him, that you love him, that you're passionately pursuing him, and yet you can still thirst for him. It's such a crazy paradox, and I saw you like these two thirsty deer, just thirsting after him, more of him, more of him, more of him. And as you went to the water started springing up, like fresh water. It was fresh. Yeah. So thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for your fresh water for these two. Thank you for your refreshing, for your springs of life. Thank you for, just thank you for that river of life. And I pray they'll know your refreshing. They'll know that deep calls to deep thing, that mystery of deep calling to deep. That they'll, that they'll see and feel and experience the water bubbling up on the inside, no matter what the circumstances are on the outside. That they're just a spring of refreshing. We thank you for it, Jesus. And we thank you for these two warriors, pioneers, that lead us. So we thank you for them and we bless them. In Jesus' mighty name.
Just sing out of them.
Fast TV, or fast.
Just repositions.
Yeah. saying, I've got it.
I've got the punch.
Yeah. So, yeah, so look forward to Tuesday night, our place, 3 euro close. And we'll see you all there if you can make it.
Amen.
Teas and coffees, Lord, we thank you for them. Thank you, Lord, for the rest of this week. And just bless it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.